Good afternoon, Laurier. I'm DJ Hatsaw here with the Bravo Sierra Hour, and we are happy to have you listening. How's your day going? Is it going good? I hope you don't have too many midterms. Anywho, I am here today with a very special guest, the world's youngest political commentator, the biggest hockey fanatic in the world, and my little brother, Aiden Haskell.
So it's good to be here.
So we're going to be talking about what Aiden thinks about different things, if he's nervous about going to uni next year, if he's going to be going to Laurier, what he thinks about different things. But first, we're going to start off. Aiden, recently you posted a very, very interesting thing about social media on your social media.
Yep.
It was basically a comment about how people are always saying check Insta or like IG.
Yeah.
And how it's supposed to be, you know, sort of not Instagram and Facebook and things like that weren't supposed to be... how many likes you can get, it's how you can keep up with people. And why exactly did you post that?
So when I posted that, I was just thinking about, it was originally from, I saw on somebody's Snapchat, they had put a thing that said like IG. And for those who maybe don't know what the term like IG means, when you post something on Instagram and you want to get the most likes possible, you tell people to like IG or like your recent picture. So I thought this for a long time, just about where Instagram and where social media as a whole has gone. And I thought that I needed to say something about it because I just felt like it had gotten to such a low place. So I posted something on my Instagram, which basically just talked about how this is not the point of social media. It was never supposed to be just how many likes you could get. It was supposed to be a way to connect with people, to see what other people were doing, right? So when I posted that, I got mixed reviews. I got some good comments, but also some bad ones. But I felt like it was something that needed to be said.
Now, is that the only... Now, I know you kind of go against the grain politically. I wouldn't say you're conservative per se, but you don't necessarily identify as liberal either.
Well... Yeah, I mean, I think I have, I don't know if I would put myself into one category, because I would say my political views don't necessarily align with one fixed political party, but I always want to be going where the facts are and going where the evidence takes me, and that's what's really important to me, whether it be on the left or on the right, wherever that is. I just want to make sure I'm doing whatever is right and whatever is based on the most fact and the most viable information.
Now, would that say that's brought you closer to one side of the political spectrum or the other?
I guess, yeah, yes. I would say that I probably have more right-leaning tendencies, but that's not to say that I'm conservative, because I do think I would call myself more of a centrist in the fact that I just want maximum freedom, and I just want people to be in a loving and caring country.
Now, would you say that with the recent legalization of marijuana, would you say that that's a good thing to help your point, or are you against it?
Well, that's a good question. And it's, so at one point I would have said, no, I'm against the legalization of marijuana, but I was talking with one of my good friends about this, and we've had many good discussions about it. And just, I think that so many people already use it, and I don't necessarily think that that's a good thing, but I think I understand that if so many people are already using it, I could see the value in the government wanting to be able to monetize that so that the government can profit from it. So I do see that perspective. And I mean, since it's become legal, my life hasn't changed drastically or anything, and I haven't really seen a large change at all.
Just a lot more people diddling in your high school classes.
Well, the thing is, anybody who was smoking weed in high school was already doing it before the legalization of marijuana, so they're still smoking it now anyway.
Now, we're going to go on a quick break, but after this, we're going to be talking about what Aiden thinks about coming into university and if he's a bit nervous. Right now, we got a little tune coming from the Eagle Eye Cherry, Safe Night. And we're back. I hope you didn't miss us too much. That was Safe Night by the Eagle Eye Cherry. Great band. So we're back with Aiden, and Aiden, you're in grade 12 right now, and first of all, how's high school going?
Especially this year, I'm really loving it. I have some great classes, so I'm really enjoying it, I have to say. However, I am kind of looking forward to just, you know, getting out and experiencing the world a bit more, which sounds kind of like it's small town vibe or whatever. But I am really actually looking forward to just getting out and going to university wherever that may be.
Now, what would you be interested in taking?
Yeah, so I think so this is the question, right? This is, what do you want to do? What do you want to do after high school? And for up until maybe a month ago, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I liked math, science, but I also liked more of the social sciences and kind of an area of, which is politics, obviously. So I think what I've narrowed it down to is engineering or a split between political science and economics. So some of the schools I'm considering would be Queen's, Western, McGill, Waterloo, and of course, you can't forget Laurier.
I was going to say, come to Laurier.
Yeah, I was
come
getting
to
there.
Laurier.
I was getting
Or
there.
Maybe don't come to Laurier, actually. This is my party town. You get your own party town.
I'll go somewhere else.
But okay, you go party somewhere in Toronto and go to all the fun clubs.
I was thinking about this when I was coming over here. How did you go about, I haven't really asked you this, how did you go about getting this podcast? Because that would be something that I might be interested in, or just getting the radio show, I guess. How did you go about getting this?
Well, originally, I had a podcast called Running Towards Gunfire.
Yeah, I remember.
We had four episodes. It sucked.
Well,
actually, a couple of podcasts were. So then, when I came to university, I was like, you know what? I want to do something. And then I signed up for the boxing club, which is great. And then I was like, you know what? I want to talk to people. So then I was like, and I listened to Joe Rogan Experience a lot.
Oh, that's a classic.
So then I just came here and signed up and was like, sweet. And then I named it the Bravo Sierra Hour. And for anyone who knows the phonetic alphabet, Bravo is B and Sierra is S. So I'm not going to spell out what that set means, but because I can't say it on air. However, I will let...
Are there a lot of restrictions? What are you allowed to say on air?
We can't swear. We can't. Yeah. Do any swearing. We can't do anything racist.
Yeah,
or
well,
homophobic. Because logic. But other than that, anything.
Wow. So I feel like, so did you basically just signed up and then they gave you your own show? Is that kind of how it went? That's pretty awesome.
Obviously, I had to go through a bit of an interview to make sure
that you
crazy.
Were a crazy guy, for sure. How did, and then you just bring people on, it is kind of like the Joe Rogan Experience, which is a really good podcast.
Oh, yeah. If anyone wants a great podcast with a diverse interview group, go listen to the Joe Rogan Experience or listen to Bravo Sierra Hour. We're also pretty amazing.
Well, yeah, because I'm just to the Joe Rogan Experience, what I was thinking about his podcast is what he does so well is, although he's interviewing these guests, he takes everything they say with a grain of salt, in the sense that he doesn't just agree with them on everything. He kind of will voice his own opinions, which kind of is nice, and it kind of adds something to it, I think. Because he makes some good points.
Yeah, he's not just agreeing with them.
Yeah, exactly.
He actually had someone on recently that has a bit of a history, let's say, with Laurie. He had Jordan Peterson on. He's had him on numerous amount of times. For those who don't know, Jordan Peterson caused a bit of a controversy. Well, not him in particular. There is a teacher's assistant who was teaching a tutorial here at Laurier, Lindsay Shepherd, and she played I forget what the tutorial was for, but she played a Jordan Peterson clip, and that clip was debating gender pronouns, and there was a bill coming into law where you...
Bill C-16.
Bill C-16, yes, yep. Thank you. And it sort of caused a bit of controversy, and people said that they were offended that she had played the clip on a neutral ground, and then compared this man to Hitler. They compared a guy who was having a decent debate to Hitler.
You think you're going to get taken off the air for bashing Laurier?
We'll see.
You have to say it's that's exactly what happened, and I think I would that's exactly it. So,
and then this poor girl Lindsay Shepherd, I'm not going to take it off air because this is all public knowledge.
Yeah, that's true.
She then was like, hey, what's going on? She got pulled in, recorded an entire interview they had with her where they compared Peterson to Hitler. And then she went through a whole bunch of stuff, started a free speech club on campus, great club. The name escapes me right now, but I'm sure you can look up Laurier Free Speech Club and you'll be able Laurier Club for Open Inquiry, I think it is, or something like that. And then now Jordan Peterson and Lindsay Shepherd are suing Laurier.
Yeah, so that's quite a bit of information for people who may not have known. But Jordan Peterson, he is a genius. That man is so incredibly smart. Mm-hmm. And he has his own podcast too. But most of his podcasts, it's not, his podcast is he takes his interviews with people and then he puts them into a podcast. So if you're ever looking for that, I think it's just called the Jordan B. Peterson podcast. He's an incredibly smart guy.
And the thing is, he's very left-leaning. Like, he's a fairly liberal guy.
I wouldn't say he's fairly left-leaning.
Well, he's fairly liberal.
Yeah, he is certainly not a right-wing conservative by any means, but I think he's pro-free speech, pro-free expression, which I guess in this day and age has become a bit controversial, which is kind of odd. But
I think it's ridiculous that free speech is now a political argument.
Yeah, I think it's sad in a way that we've gotten to this point, because it is so important to have the freedom to have a debate with someone, because we look at the countries that have had the best innovation, and it's the countries where they've allowed the most free speech and free expression. Because when you have these conversations, even though they can be uncomfortable, that's what really leads to the best ideas being put forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Jordan Peterson is just, he's an incredible intellectual, like I've said. And, really, just really smart guy.
You sound so much like Dad right now.
Another smart guy. Another smart guy.
Our father is Dr. David Hassel. He works at Laurier Branford, and right now Aiden is doing a perfect impression of what he sounds like.
Yeah, I don't mean to, like, sound exactly like him, but he makes a lot of good points, that man. So
also, there's another guy that's sort of been lumped in with Jordan Peterson. Back to the Jordan Peterson thing. Ben Shapiro. What do you think of him?
Ben Shapiro, I think he's another really smart guy, very hard worker. He's an American, for those who don't know, he's an American political commentator, and he is the he works for the Daily Wire, and he has his own podcast show there. He graduated from law school, and he was a lawyer for a bit, and now he's moved into politics. What I would say about him, I think he is another really smart guy, but I think, unlike Jordan Peterson, he is not as willing, I would say, to have his mind changed. And he's not, although he would say, I think, Ben Shapiro would say that he's all about going where the facts and the evidence lead, I think Jordan Peterson does a better job of actually living that. Mm-hmm. And I think Jordan Peterson will actually, if you were to come up with an argument against something that he thought, he would take that into consideration to see what is the best argument. I think Ben Shapiro is fairly ideologically driven. Not to say that I think he has good points, though. I just think that Jordan Peterson is a bit more of a free thinker, I would say.
Mm. Well, we're going to take another quick break to play some more amazing music. We'll be right back with Aiden Hass. Let's talk more about politics, hockey, who knows. If you want to tweet at us for any recommendations about what you want us to talk about or any music requests, please feel free to tweet at us at the Bravo Sierra Hour or at Real DJ Hacksaw on Twitter. You can also follow us on Instagram, The Real DJ Hacksaw and The Bravo Sierra Hour. This is Florida Georgia Line with Like You Ain't Even Gone.
I still go riding around town when the wind is down and your feet up on my dash. Got your rays on and my hat's back and we're feet.
And we're back with Bravo Sierra Hour. I'm here with Aiden Hassel. Now, just before we go on, I wanted to let you guys know, on my first episode, I had Trinidaddy, a musician, on. He placed fifth in the competition he was coming here to promote, and I just wanted to give him a quick shout-out. Speaking of music, I know that you have a very interesting taste in music. Personally, not my sort of thing. You listen to a lot of rap, lots of Kendrick Lamar, Kanye actually too.
Yeah, I listen. Yeah, well, I'd say my music taste goes just beyond rap. I would say I do like rap for sure, but I also will listen to just about anything except for maybe country music. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fan of country music, but it really depends on my mood. I will listen to like big band jazz. I'll listen to classical music. I'll listen to pop. I'll listen to just about anything except for really country music. But yeah, I don't know if you like country.
I'm a big country fan. Florida Georgia Line.
Well, I like some of their stuff. I would say as a whole, though, that's the one genre where I don't really listen to them as much.
Everyone hates on country.
But yeah, I do. I really enjoy Kanye, Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole.
What do you think about the entire Kanye thing with Trump?
Yeah. Oh.
Like, I'm not 100... Like, for those who don't know, with me included, what exactly went on there?
Yeah. Well, there's been that whole thing with Kanye and Trump. So I guess it started... He went and he met with Trump about a year ago, and they just chatted. And then Kanye started wearing the MAGA hat, or the Make America Great Again hat. And that was pretty controversial because a lot of people felt like Kanye was betraying the rap culture, I guess you could say. So since then, Kanye's kind of gotten really political in his views and things, and he's gotten really into the whole idea of America first and things. So he met with Trump again, I think, a few weeks ago, and they were talking about different issues, and Kanye went on a bit of a rant, and I'd say I prefer the musician Kanye is over the political commentator that Kanye is, because I'd say if he does have good points, he's not articulating them well. That's what I would say.
As opposed to, say, someone like Jordan Peterson.
Ben Shapiro. And that's exactly it. They have made their living by talking, more so Ben Shapiro.
Oh, no. Peterson was a professor at Toronto for a long time.
Yeah, but, I mean, his job was never to be political, I guess. He's kind of come into that light more so recently. But I would say for Ben Shapiro, he researches that, and that's how he makes his living. But in the case of Kanye, that's not really his focus. So although he's been using his platform to talk about politics, I prefer his music, I would say, to his political views.
Right. And now, would you say that musicians in general should be getting involved in politics, or should they just...
That's a good question. And back to Ben Shapiro, I feel like I keep going back to him. He makes a good point where he says that politics and pop culture should be kept separate. And these musicians, just because they have this platform, doesn't mean they should necessarily be using it, because they're not always making the most educated points. They are not coming from a place where they've been researching this. They might read one headline or something and then feel the need to talk about it. And that's not to say that they should be shut out completely, right? Because they are still people, and I do want them to be able to speak. I feel like everybody should be able to speak. I just think it's a fine line between being able to speak, but then they're using their platform in a way that is maybe unjust, I would say. And it can... I just want the facts to be out there. And when you're having people who are musicians, artists, all those types of people, actors, celebrities, basically, who are giving their views, that's not a problem. I have no problem with that. I just worry that there's people who look up to them who are being influenced by what they are saying.
Oh, it's really big in Hollywood. I mean, we both saw the new Black Panther movie, which I thought was a really good movie.
But I haven't seen it yet. I know, that's bad. I know it's bad. It's on Netflix now, so I'll probably watch it tonight or something.
It's a good movie, but it's very left-leaning.
No, very. I don't know. I would say it's not over. What would you say makes
it left-leaning? It's not overly left-leaning, but it's not a very, you know, the bad guy, Killmonger.
What do you mean by that?
He was very, I don't want to say, okay, maybe not left-leaning per se, but it had a very sort of Black Lives Matter movement, which is predominantly...
No, I think that was a good film to show, I think it was just a good film to almost bring people together within the realm of superheroes and things. So yeah. I would say that...
Oh, it's a great movie. Don't get me wrong.
Well, yeah, I don't think it was. I wouldn't necessarily say that it was left leaning. I don't know if it was that, but I see. I guess I could see where you're coming from.
And don't get me wrong. I loved the movie. It's probably one of the better Marvel movies to come out recently. So I love the movie. I just thought it was a bit political.
Well, I guess I could see how you could say that for sure.
And do you think that they're obviously Hollywood is very, very liberal, very
yeah, open-minded. That is, yeah, for sure.
Would you, what would you say? Should you say that politics should be kept out of Hollywood too? Because, I mean...
Yeah, I think it, as a whole, like, because most of the people in Hollywood are all celebrities, so I would say I don't want them to not be able to speak, because that's even worse. But like I was saying, I just think that they have this large influence, and I just want to make sure they're using it...
properly.
Yeah, they're using it in a way that's giving the facts, I would say.
So I'd say you're very free speech then.
Yep, I am. I guess, yeah, I'm free speech, and then after that, we could talk about the other things, but the free speech is very, freedom of expression, free speech, that whole thing, that's very important to me, that everybody has that right.
So I feel that free speech is somewhat limited on campuses, but how do you find free speech in high school different from...
Yeah, well, that is a good question, free speech in high school, because there's obviously, it's very... public.
Divisive.
Well, yeah, and it's very public, the free speech on university campuses, but I think it's almost gotten in, it's kind of seeped into the high school level, I would say. So the other, this just made me think of this story. The other week, when, I think it was last week, we were in my English class, we were having a bit of a debate, and we were talking about Trump, and I don't support Trump. I wouldn't vote for Trump. I think he's
morally
not,
reprehensible.
Yeah, he's a bad person.
Yeah.
And we were able to have this conversation in our English class, which was so good that we were able, because there are people in my English class who are very pro Trump, and I was able to say to them, well, maybe you need to reconsider your thoughts and your ideas. And we were able to have that conversation, and that was so good. So I think those types of conversations, the ones where they can make people feel a bit uncomfortable, but those are the types of conversations that need to be had.
Of course, because of course there are always lone people that don't like your opinion.
Yeah, there's always going to be people who disagree with you, and that's why it's so important to have those conversations, because maybe you're wrong.
Yeah.
I know for me personally, I've changed my views and my ideas before because I was able to have a conversation with someone where they told me something that I didn't know or maybe I hadn't thought of, and that changed my view.
Yeah, and it's especially, you know, you obviously know Steven Crowder, and he does that thing, change my mind.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, Steven Crowder, he's another political commentator.
More political agitator, I'd say.
Yeah, that's probably a better way to put it. He's on YouTube, you can look him up. But so the change my mind thing you're referring to, that's where he goes out into the streets and he like sets up a booth and people can come up and talk to him and ask him. Or they kind of have intellectual conversations and maybe debates.
Intellectual, air quotes.
Yeah. So the one he did was, I think there's only two genders or something, change my mind. And then he has these conversations with people. But, so I like that they're having those conversations. But the one thing I would say about those is when Crowder goes out and he's got all his notes in front of him and he's prepared and everything. And then he goes and he is talking to these people who maybe just kind of have thought of these things but haven't really
researched it
exactly. It's kind of, and then he posts it on YouTube like, see, I'm right, you're wrong. I feel like that's kind of unfair in a way because he's not really, I'm sure if those people were given time to research, they might have more coherent and better ideas, but he kind of takes advantage of the fact that they're just on the street and
they're not ready at
they're,
all.
Yeah, they're not ready, and he's got all these notes prepared and everything, and it could be a bit overwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if I saw him and I had to debate him on something and he had all his notes and I was just there, and then people are like looking up their statistics on their phones while he's got this printed out page of all his stuff. So I like the idea of what he's trying to do, but I would prefer if he would maybe let, or I'd prefer it if he didn't come with any notes or anything, because then that's really just a conversation.
Then it's just an even playing field.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's sort of become a meme now, almost. Just I've seen on Facebook, like, pineapple doesn't belong on pizza. Change my mind.
Yeah, yeah, that is funny. And I've seen a few of those, and that can be good. I'd say memes are surprisingly...
influential.
Yeah, and can be surprisingly controversial, I would say. Which it can be. Sometimes memes go too far, I would
yes.
say. And this is not memes... as in like the philosophical way of telling stories. This is memes like memes on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So not, Because I know there's another meaning of memes that Jordan Peterson talks about, where it's like a memes is the idea of telling stories, I believe, or conveying a story. You could look it up after, but yeah, the idea. But we're talking about memes in the sense that like
it's a picture, it's a GIF
or something. Yeah, I think memes are good because they keep things a bit edgy, and they're not necessarily political correct, and I like it. And that is what is funny. People like things that are a bit edgy.
A bit like, not maybe you shouldn't say that, but we'll laugh at it anyway.
And that's what's so good about free speech, because when you are able to talk about these things, and obviously there's lines. There's definitely lines about things you shouldn't talk about.
Like, I shouldn't just walk up to one of my black friends and start saying the N-word constantly.
Well, obviously. Yeah, I don't think you should ever say
the N-word.
Yeah, but I think that's what makes comedy so great, that you're able to push those boundaries and you're able to talk about things that are maybe not PC.
And at the end, you can just say, hey, we're just joking here. We're just having a good time.
Yeah, it's all about the context of that's really important, context of what there was that thing with PewDiePie.
with maybe, him with the Nazi stuff?
I think it was, it might have been Nazi stuff. I don't remember. Oh, yeah, but there was, so yeah. And then they took that out of context, and like the Wall Street Journal wrote a big thing on it, and they just were like, look it, PewDiePie's a Nazi. And I mean, it ruined PewDiePie.
Yeah.
His content hasn't been the same since. Like, he's basically just given up, and now he just does videos that are still funny, but they're not as controversial anymore, because he felt like, I think he really just got
paranoid.
Yeah, that's it. And
he's like, I don't want to be taken off YouTube. This is how I make my living.
Yeah, this is literally his job, to be funny.
Yeah.
And when people are saying, no, you can't be funny that way, I think that can be, I don't want to say dangerous, but maybe that is the right word. It can hurt the culture, and it can hurt comedy.
Oh, yeah. And there's stuff that I've joked around with some of my army buddies that I cannot say in a regular crowd, but at the same time, it's like, do we want to really have that conversation?
Yeah, I think it depends on what you're saying for sure. But I think as long as you're saying things that are
appropriate.
Yeah, appropriate. Not even appropriate necessarily. You can say things that are maybe a bit inappropriate. Okay. But you're saying things that they're not hate speech, I guess.
Yeah. So what is hate speech exactly?
I think
to you, anyways.
I would say hate speech is, to me, it's whatever it's defined as in
the dictionary?
In law, which would be insinuating violence on someone, I think. So that's what I would say is hate speech.
Because I know there are some people, especially on, well, not especially on university campuses, there's a lot of people in America and Canada that will say, oh, hate speech is anything that hurts my feelings. My feelings were hurt. I was offended. So be offended. Doesn't change the way the world runs. The world will keep turning. You're offended. No one cares. Move on.
Well, yeah, I mean, you still have to realize that these are people, and you don't ever want to go out of your, well, I think you want to try your best to not hurt people just for the sake of hurting people, right? Yeah. You want to still realize that these are people. Like, with the whole idea of gender pronouns, whatever somebody wants to be called, I'll call you that, because I respect your decision, and I'm going to do that, but the whole idea of Bill C-16, where I'm being forced to call somebody what they want to be called, I don't really jive with that. But if you want whatever you want to be called, I'll call you that. I'm happy to call you whatever you want to be called, because you're a person, right?
Yeah.
And I respect that, and I just want to make sure that my first priority is that I'm showing love to everybody, right?
Yeah, of course.
So that, I think, is what's really important.
And plus, I mean, what offends you might not offend me. For example, boy bands offend me. They're corporate shills posing as musicians to make a quick buck. And personally, I'm offended.
See, I I'm not offended by boy bands. I like boy bands.
But you don't see me calling up like special constables every time I see One Direction on the TV like, hello, it's me. Yeah, there's five of them dressed in white, dancing, telling me I don't know I'm beautiful. I know I'm beautiful. I'll be out on the lawn in 5 minutes, traumatized. Bye. No, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, and whatever offends you might not necessarily offend me.
Exactly. So we're just going to go on another quick break here, folks, and we'll be back with more Aiden Hastel and hilarious humor. This is a rap song that Aiden might enjoy. It's Good Old Days by Macklemore featuring Kesha.
Good old days.
And we're back. Hopefully you didn't miss too much. Now, as my brother, you know that I am a big UFC fan.
Yep.
And that's been a bit split in our family because our family is a hockey family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you grew up playing hockey. I grew up playing hockey. We all grew up playing hockey.
We all played hockey.
Which is kind of weird because neither one of our parents can even really skate.
No, they cannot. Yeah. Sorry, mom and dad, but you know you can't skate.
Yeah. So it's weird that we've kind of become a hockey family, but I guess that's just what you do in Canada. It's mm-hmm. just the way it goes.
Yeah. And I remember we would always sort of hope, we would always watch like replays of the hockey games when we were young, and I would always hope that there was a fight going on.
Yeah. Yeah. You've always kind of been into UFC, even when like you started, we both did karate for a bit there.
Yeah.
But I stopped and you kept going with the whole martial arts thing. And yeah. I guess that's kind of where we went in different directions.
Yeah. And I remember my last season of playing hockey, I had 100, I think I set the lead record or something. I had 111 minutes spent in the penalty box.
Yeah. That's, your team probably didn't really love that, playing on the penalty kill for most of the game. But
no, I had, I saw two games worth of penalties now that I think about it.
Yeah, that's a large amount of penalties
for sure. That's when I sort of realized that, you know, maybe hockey is a little too non-violent for me.
But then do you find, though, that the UFC is maybe, like, if you think hockey's not violent enough, do you think the UFC is maybe too violent?
Well, not really. I mean, it's a sport, so I'll never, violence is subjective, I think. And what do you
mean by violence is subjective?
Well, I'm in the reserves, as you know. Yeah. I'm in the military reserves. Yeah. And I've heard stories from guys that have actually gone on deployments, and you know, they'll tell you like, oh, stuff happened, you know, guns were fired, mm-hmm. obviously. And that, I think, is, you know, true violence, when someone could get killed.
Well, people could die in any sport, really.
Yeah, but I mean, you die in sport versus you dying in a war zone, you're less likely to die playing hockey or doing UFC than you are in a war zone mm-hmm. getting shot at.
Yeah, for sure. I just feel like, I still think, though, whether you're beating someone up, which is essentially UFC, is it not?
Safe violence. That's safe.
So,
violence.
But it's still a form of violence, I guess you could say.
It's a safer version of violence, and so that's why I don't really consider it too violent per se, versus say going into a live action war zone and, you know, where there's a possibility of dying. That is not safe of violence. It is violence.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I see what you're saying. Where there's that element of, I am risking my life, right? Mm-hmm. I guess, but with UFC, aren't you technically like risking your life later on down the line? Like, don't a lot of those guys end up being like punch drunk?
Well, it's actually safer than, you were thinking boxing. In boxing, yeah, a lot of those guys get brain damage. A lot of them end up with CTE and yeah. all that stuff. And
yeah, like Muhammad Ali, when he was into his later years, he could barely talk.
Yeah, he could barely walk. I mean, even Mike Tyson, I mean, you're going to see in a few years, he is going to be gone.
With that pet tiger he has, he'll just be riding that everywhere.
Yeah, the pet tiger is going to be watching him eventually.
Yeah.
How do you get a pet tiger?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know how he did that. But when you have that much money, you can find a way.
There were shenanigans involved.
Yeah, when you have that much money, you find a way.
Yeah.
Back to the whole UFC thing, though. Do you ever find that for you? Do you ever like? Do you fight yourself? Do you do MMA sparring?
I did do a bit of MMA sparring when I was back at back in Cambridge in high school. I did MMA, jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, all that fun stuff, and I did do some MMA sparring. Got hit in the head a lot.
Do you think that that's had long term effects on you? Like, have you noticed any
nothing
differences in your cognitive abilities or anything?
I mean, no. I'm still able to talk, still able to walk, still able to throw a punch. So yeah. I wouldn't say it's affected me too much. There were a couple times where I was rocked. I mean, in sparring, you know, a guy hits you hard, you sort of wobbly for a bit, but then you get back on your feet, take him down, whatever.
I wonder, and I don't, this is not based on any evidence, but I wonder if there is some sort of correlation between, or not being, are, if you are maybe more likely to get concussions and things, because I've gotten some pretty, maybe I just was never diagnosed, but I've gotten some pretty nasty hits in hockey, but I've never had a concussion, which could be one of two things. It could either mean that our parents just
they were just like, you're fine.
Yeah, you're
walk it off. Walk it off.
Yeah. Or I wonder, and this is based on no evidence, I wonder if people are maybe more
predisposed.
Yeah,
to have
more likely. They like the spine is not as strong, where their neck snaps back easier or something. I wonder. I wonder, because you've never had a concussion.
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah,
no,
one in our family has ever had concussions.
Well, actually, probably someone has, and we just don't
maybe
know
yeah,
it.
Maybe we just we're never.
It's never so it's either poor family relations or good genetics. One of the two.
Yeah,
so
we'll go with good genetics.
Let's go with good genetics because I like my parents too much.
Yeah,
and they're listening to this, so.
So yeah, but I was thinking about that. I wonder if there is some sort of correlation between genetics and.
Personally, I think that hockey players are actually more likely to get a concussion, and football players too. Anyone that's running into each other, staying each other.
Yeah, the speed definitely. I've realized that because we've had this conversation before, where I would say that, well, in UFC though, you're getting constant hits to the head, but there is definitely something to be said about that speed factor when you're going as fast as you can at someone and hurling your body basically at them.
Yeah, for MMA, it's like I'm hitting you with one small part of my body in the head, whereas in hockey, you're throwing maybe the entire left side of your body right at someone's head.
And I think, well, it's not always the case, though, because you look at some of the worst hockey injuries, and that is the case, where it's like a shoulder going into somebody's head and their neck snaps. But there's also the other times where it's just like the person's up against the boards and you hit them and you get their shoulder on chest kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is where I would say that UFC, you're basically always aiming for the head.
Well, not necessarily. If you get a good grappler in there, if you get, say, Hoist Gracie in his prime
but
in there, he's chopping people out left and right.
But do you ever just punch them in the chest? You never punch in the chest.
You kick a lot in the chest. It's a technique. I wouldn't say it's a 100% used technique, and I can see your point there, but it's a technique nonetheless. Like, you hit right in between the left and right breast, it's the air box right there. You'll wind a guy, then you'd maybe shoot for a double edge or whatever.
Yeah, so yeah, you'd kind of get him off balance and then you go in. I don't know. I would be interested to see the type of studies that have been done on the differences between hockey injuries and UFC injuries.
Well, I think since MMA is still so young, like it just came along. Well, it didn't come along in 99.
I guess it kind of got big.
Yeah. It exploded in 93, like the UFC came along in 93 with Hoist Gracie winning the first UFC at 175 pounds. Smallest guy in the tournament wins the tournament. Explain that one, physics. And then that sort of is when 90 exploded. So it'd be hard to sort of compare UFC versus hockey, because hockey's been around since like the early 1900s.
Yeah. I guess you're not wearing really any equipment in the UFC.
No, you're wearing gloves and a jock and pants, and for women in sports bra too, but
yeah, I guess it's two different things. But
it's like comparing apples and oranges. It's like
you could do some sort of study where you looked at
head trauma.
Yeah, or, you could look at once they retire, I guess.
Yeah, you could look at retired MMA vets versus
and
retired
do
hockey
something
vets.
Like a CAT scan to see their brain activity and something like that.
I'm sure there's more science that we just don't know about at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm sure eventually they'll find a good helmet, because I think it's really the helmets in most sports that are really screwing people over.
Well, they make such a big deal about the helmets and everything, but it's not necessarily the helmet that is saving you from the concussion, because it's definitely part of it. The helmet is definitely decreasing your chance of concussion, but it's also the when your neck snaps like that, that's not a natural motion.
No.
That can definitely rattle your brain within your skull. But there is something to be said about when you hit your head off ice or something.
Yeah.
That can also give you concussion. And worse, it could crack your skull open, and then that's a whole other problem.
Well, I mean, the reason you get concussions is the brain sloshing around in your skull. So, I mean, unless they get, like, a helmet that you can put inside your skull to protect the actual brain itself, you're not going to really get much better protection than the helmets they have.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
you need some sort of neck protection so that your neck's locked in place.
Yeah.
So that if your neck snaps, then your head doesn't snap. It's all kind of one unit.
But, I mean, would that do more damage then? Just because your entire head's staying in place, but your brain's still sloshing around?
That's a good point. Yeah, maybe when your neck snaps, then it brings your brain with it. So then everything's kind of moving. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that would be better or...
I mean, that's what the entire premise of that one movie, Concussion, was about, wasn't it?
That was a really good... Yeah, the one with Will Smith.
Will Smith, yeah.
It's on Netflix if anybody wants to watch it. I think. I don't know if it still is. They're always updating their stuff. But yeah, that was a really... I really enjoyed that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And the way he is able to... The guy in the movie, the way he was able to just use this research and how he just looked at brains and... everything he did, I find that really fascinating.
Yeah.
And I also find that movie was also really sad, I think, because you look at some of these ex-NFL players and these athletes and just how their life just crumbles because of CTE. And that made me really, really sad to see, I would say, because they spend their whole life just playing a sport, whatever sport it is, and they have so much fun doing it, but there are consequences to that.
And it sucks that, well, it doesn't suck that there are consequences to your actions. I mean, sometimes, you know, you drink too much, you get a hangover, that's a valid consequence. But at the same time, you shouldn't be penalized for playing a sport you love.
I guess.
And being at the top of your game, like some of these high-level football players who are just, you know, winning Super Bowls and things like that, but then walking away from the sport 5 years later with massive brain trauma.
Yeah, I hope that there are discoveries in that area and we find some sort of way where we can limit CTE, because it does hurt people so drastically.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, we're still doing research. And it affects, you know, soldiers, too. I mean, say an IED goes off near your truck, you survive whatever attack's going on, but your brain's still sloshing around in your helmet and...
Yeah, like, I have incredible respect for anybody who's in the military who's able to go over to wherever it is and they fight to keep us safe. Mm-hmm. That is incredible to me. And then they come back and they're expected just to return to civilian life.
And they're supposed
life.
To be like normal people?
No. I have so much respect for anybody who is in the military, because I just feel like you are really sacrificing yourself for your country. And even when you get back, you're never the same.
No, you're never going to be normal. You see, for those soldiers who do go overseas and do unfortunately have to take a life, when you have to take a life for your country, that changes you.
Yeah, I mean,
I haven't had to do it yet. Thank goodness for that. But
yeah, I have a lot of respect for anybody who's in the military, because that is such... And you look... People don't want to do that anymore. People don't want to go into the military.
I mean, even our generation, I don't know if we're in the same generation, but
we're pretty close.
Yeah, but like the younger generations, like 23 and younger, they're losing like patriotism, nationality, and obviously you don't want extreme nationality and patriotism, but a good amount of...
What I would say is I just want people to be proud to...
Proud to be Canadian, proud to be American, proud to be British, whatever. Proud to be where you're from.
Yeah, you still want to make sure that you are helping other countries. Mm-hmm. And I think that's maybe where Donald Trump goes wrong, is he's got this America first mentality, which isn't a problem necessarily, because you want your country to be first, but... Yeah. At
you
the
want
same
your country
time,
to be successful.
Yeah, you want your country to be successful, but at the same time, you also want to make sure that if you are strong, you want to help others.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want to shut others out. If you have a gift, which is America has a gift. They are a powerhouse. They want to make sure that they're using that, I think. And that's where Trump goes wrong. He doesn't want to really help other countries. And that doesn't mean necessarily they have to give up anything that they have. Like, they shouldn't change their ways of living. But I would like to see a world where people are helping each other just because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and you saw that Chris Pratt thing recently?
Yeah. Oh, that was good. That was really powerful, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Where he... Yeah, for those who don't know, it was on... I think it was at the VMAs...
MTV Music Awards.
MTV? Yeah, the MTV Music Awards. And he did this kind of monologue after he won an award. And what he was talking about. Just he was talking about many different things, but he was one of the things he mentions is, are you thinking of the one who he's talking about?
Yeah.
There's people who die for your country and they shed their blood for your country.
And I was also thinking mainly about, there was one he said, rule number, so it was 9 rules for life from Chris Pratt. And rule number 3 was, don't be a turd. If you're strong, be a protector. And if you're smart, be a humble influencer. Strength and intelligence can be weapons, so do it, not wield them against the weak. That makes you a bully. Be bitter than that.
Yeah, I thought that was really powerful. And he does a really good job in those 9 rules because he, if you watch the video, he makes them kind of fun. Yeah, he ties in some, like, he has one where if you're trying to give a dog medicine, wrap it in peanut butter or something.
Yeah.
So he kind of, he kept it entertaining, but also put in some really good life lessons.
Yeah.
And that
was essentially wrapping medicine in peanut butter.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Wow, that was really profound, what you just said there.
Boom, mic drop.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, he's wrapping medicine, the medicine being how to live your life, in peanut butter, kind of a funny
way of looking at it.
That was good.
Oh, I thank you.
That was, wow.
I may have borrowed that from someone, you know who you are, but yeah.
That was good. So you didn't come up with that yourself?
No, I did not. I cannot take credit for that, but you know who you are. You're listening to this now.
That was good. That was really good. Wow.
But I think that's how we got to end the show.
Yeah, just whenever in life, you just got to wrap the medicine in peanut butter.
Exactly. So any last thoughts you want to add before we leave?
It's been a pleasure to be here, and thanks for having me.
Well, love to have you on. For this last song goes out to special little sister back in Cambridge. She played.